I'm not her mother, yet I'm paid to love her like a mother. She leans into me, touching my back. I can't remember the last time a client held me this way and I actually felt something. They've whittled me down one by one, and sometimes I worry about what will be left behind, the residue of who I used to be. I'm 34 in August, too young to be this numb. We're sorry about what we did, Monique says, sniffing. Jenny loved me as all. I can't help being this way, you know. We couldn't help it. My fingers run through this young woman's hair, combing it, parting it, toying with it the way my mother used to when I was a kid. Details seal the deal. I can't be soft with my clients, let alone fake. They sniff inauthenticity at 50 yards. So be concrete. Let them beat their grief against me, a literal wailing wall. Nobody said this job was easy. I invite the numbness. It used to be a self-defense mechanism, but the scales tipped long ago. And that might be why during sessions such as this, my thoughts drift to Mum. Don't go there, Kaylee. You're on the clock. That's easier said than done. All it would take is a single spark for my anger to ignite. So I push the past back as far as it'll go. If I can't control it, I can't be trusted, then, to run my fingers through Monique's hair without flinching, without raking gouges along her scalp. I pitch my voice down a notch to sound older. The brief said Monique's mother was in her 40s when she died. Do you want to tell me anything else, sweetheart? I ask. Jesus God, I don't know if I can. It's hard for me, Mum. Shh, it's all right. This is tough on you. I want to tell you everything, but I know. Gosh, I hate seeing you struggle like this, Mon. Mon, the abbreviation is a risk, one that has backfired in the past, resulting in ruptures that needed instantaneous repair. But Mon melts, evidence that gambles can pay off if you're ballsy enough to roll the dice. Sometimes we sigh together. Hers is a sigh of comfort. Mine rings with relief. Oh, Mum, she says. Jenny and I, we... Sweetie, it sounds like you've had a hard time keeping all this in. Monique nods. My job isn't to cure or erase what's happened. My job is to let her be heard. It must have been hard, I say again. Her perfume is cloying sad and reminds me of the lavender I harvested a few years ago when I was between jobs and had nothing to do. The plant grew rampant on the Yarralumla property, which I still rent, a shitty house wedged between McMansions in Canberra's most expensive suburb. You would find me there, hunched on a stool, with scissors cutting back the flowers, a wide-brimmed hat pulling shadows over my knees, petals stripped from the stems, filtering dust and dead baby spiders through a sieve, bundling the lavender in muslin sacks tied with twine, deposited them around the house. I'd worry I'd have to surrender should employee invade me for much longer. And little did I know, a life-changing job lurked just around the corner. This job. Go home, Kaylee, shrieks this memory. Do something for yourself. Get the scissors out. If you keep working this hard without rest, you'll burn out, and burning out puts you at the risk of hurting others. You fought to keep it together, I say to my client. Uh-huh. I can't imagine how difficult it must have been, Mon. We sit in a knot of limbs surrounded by tissues. My eyes wander as we wait for the right moment to untangle ourselves. Monique's apartment overlooks Grimm, a place where the trees are dead, where public servants power walk from meeting to meeting. The floor-to-ceiling windows separate the cold from the artificial warmth, making me sweat inside. There are no shadows here. Light and dark merge as one. The apartment must have been bought with Monique's inheritance, and I don't begrudge her this, even if denying my jealousy is harder than I'd like it to be. After all, what did my mother leave me? Hurdles, that's what, and a breed of empathy that makes me perfect for a job like this, but if not reined in, not monitored, just might destroy me. How lovely. There are photographs on the walls, a television, ladles hang from the kitchen backboard. None of this fits with the young woman, a girl really, in my arms. But then I notice the breadcrumbs on the counter, a knife smeared with Vegemite, and I see a child in want of a mother who would never breathe again, regardless of my efforts here today. Mon, I knew about the two of you, I say. I knew, but I couldn't say, and I regret not speaking up. I guess I was afraid. Afraid of what, Mum? I was afraid that you would run. I figured you'd come to me when you were ready. And it's okay not to be ready, no matter what anyone else says. You knew? She says. Of course I did, sweetie. I rock her. I'm a mum. Mothers know everything. Monique laughs, as they so often do in the end. She sits up to touch my cheek, smiling the kind of smile that makes all of this worth it. And the magic fades, a spell unweaving, now that this stranger has obtained from me what she requires, what she's paid for. and Monique fingers my wig. Later, suds pull between my toes as I scrub the client out of my hair. This routine is an essential part of my work. Soap, jasmine, herbs, the wind down. An evening sprawls on the other side, indefinite and often purposeless. Wind makes branches scratch at the bathroom window. Once I've blow-dried my hair, the ends frayed and split from over-caring, I climb into my pajamas and exhale until I'm empty. The shell of me flicks on Family Feud, whips up a stir-fry, pours a glass of wine. I know I just won't be a glass. And then, queued up and predictable, comes the anxiety. Because the weekend is still one day away. Just because you love your job doesn't mean you don't dread it. Pranav texts me to see if I've got anything on tonight. That last word, tonight, punctuated by a question mark like one of his curly pubic hairs, locks in his intent. And he's a nice guy, and were I in a better place, I might let this be more than it is. My fingers dance across the screen. The delightful bing of my reply is thrilling, and thrills are rare these days. Maybe one more glass of wine won't hurt. The bed isn't made, dirty washing the basket in the corner. I can't muster enough fucks to worry. Not that my lack of self-consciousness is without limits. I tug off my pajamas to change my undies. A lavender bundle sits in the lingerie drawer and I pick it up, the bag crunching, no scent unleashed. This more than anything else today, hell, the whole week, I do care about because it signifies something I'd rather not admit. Like that smell, the woman who had harvested these flowers isn't here anymore. We kiss too hard, teeth touching. Pranav has accountant's hands, soft though precise, punching my buttons as he does numbers, and I like predictability and the anchor of his charms. He tries to roll me so he's on top, but I fight him, pushing back our thin bodies slick, reflections in the window like swishes of neon calligraphy on a dark board. My bedroom overlooks Lake Burley Griffin. There is no moon. "Will you put it on for me?" he asks, coy. Panting, I lift my head. "What?" "You know." Pranav nods to my wardrobe, that glimmer in his eyes. He wiggles, brown hips pushing me this way and that. "I'm not sure I want this." Yet I'm pulling him out of me, wiping my hands on his legs and swishing across the room. Lamplight touches the wardrobe's interior, the place I'd locked myself in the year before, just before admitting myself to the psych ward at Canberra Hospital. I was there for 3 days, so I didn't have to feel. Now, I don't feel enough. I know my wigs by touch and draw out today's bob. It's silver, as the brief said it should be.
"Who are you?"
Pranav asks, as I fit the net over my brow. And it sits right, a dull thud in my chest where my racing heartbeat had been. I go to him, bending to lick his nose, inhaling his scent. "I am Monique's mother." Despite myself, my nerves riot, and my moan is genuine. Pranav, the Tinder fuck buddy I never wanted to leave, offers a thrust I move with, not giving him what he wants, not yet.
"Tell me, Monique's mother," he says. "Tell me everything."
And I do. "I died 3 years ago. I'm dead.